Thank you to our musicians for leading us in such delightful music. We certainly have a reason to sing, don't we? We would like to welcome our visitors. This is our adult Sunday school time. We are currently in a series on the life of Christ, but this morning we have a special treat for you, which I'll get to in 1 second. Quick announcement. As you know, we have baptisms from time to time at the Frankels, and we have one coming up. So I'm going to give you the date and write this down. August the 5th, in 3 weeks, we will be going, Lord willing, to the Frankels. We have a few folks that have inquired about baptism. And so on August the 5th, Sunday, August the 5th, which is in 3 weeks, after our adult Sunday school, we will have our fellowship luncheon for August at the Frankels, and you're all welcome to come. If you or any of your loved ones have come to faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life and you have yet to be baptized and would like to do so, please speak to one of the elders. August the 5th. From time to time, we pause from our series here. We take advantage of speakers visiting us or coming through St. Louis. And for our visitors, we'd like to say that Rick will be speaking to us today. Rick goes back a long time with this local church, but he has recently left the United States and is ministering down in Quito, Ecuador. And Rick is going to come now and share briefly on the work in Ecuador and then challenge us from the Word of God. At this time, we'd like to invite Rick to come on up.
I'm going to do something you've probably never seen happen before. I'm going to take a picture of you guys. Was that a first? It'll be on Facebook by 2. And for those of you, when I have spoken here in the past, I've always had my suit and tie on. Sorry. I have so enjoyed these last 2 years not wearing a tie. So I didn't bring any. They're all down in Ecuador, you know. Unfortunately, down in Ecuador, I've got this new job where, as the dean of students, I'm going to have to be meeting with parents from when I put kids on probation for academic or behavioral reasons. And the Ecuadorians, you know, somehow they've gotten acculturated with, you know, the old three-piece suit, tie, you know, everything like that. So have to start wearing ties again. But anyway, so thank you for letting me be here. And I appreciate this opportunity. And I wonder why you have me speaking anything about Ecuador, because you have two families here who could tell you more about Ecuador than I can. Both Kevin and Cindy and Nathan and Paul have spent more years down there. And so I've just spent 2 years down there. Are we up? Oh, it's up there too. Wow, high tech. Now, you understand that in your homes, those of you who have internet with Charter, whoever, you have more stuff coming into your home that 5 or 6 times than what we have coming into our school with over 200 computers. You know, that makes the internet really slow during the day, so we don't allow YouTube or anything like that, or Facebook, or any kind of streaming videos during the day, because otherwise we could never get anything done. But here is a picture of what continent? South America. Does anybody know where Ecuador is? Now, see, here's the crazy thing. I'd like to sit there and point, you know, right there. You know, of course, you can't even see it back there. But you wouldn't see my arrow. I have to turn around and do this, you know. Now, come on, you said this. Oh, that's the arrow. Okay, there's Ecuador. Okay, little tiny country. Used to be larger, but it didn't get along with its neighbor, Peru. And So they had war for many, many years, and Ecuador lost. So Ecuador is now even smaller. And so it's located up there on the northwest corner of South America. And guess what goes right through it? Equator. Where does the name Ecuador come from? It means equator, right? So yeah, so it's right on the equator. So, okay, now here. Where do I point it, Kevin? Okay, up at the machine here?
Just press the button.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so there's a smaller picture of it, and you can see the city of Quito on the north side there. Now, that thing that's Cotopaxi, that's actually a large volcano, almost 20,000 feet, and in the Andes, and it kind of towers not too far from the city of Quito. If it ever goes, I'll meet you in heaven, because that's how, you know, big it is. And we just had a couple of our teachers went up there on the top of Cotopaxi this just before, right around the end of school, and you can see the nice little, you know, crater inside of there. But in Ecuador, so there's Quito. I didn't go through this slide like this, Kevin, so I'm learning here. So, okay, there we go. So there is Cotopaxi. You know, you see that mount, there's Mount Cotopaxi, and down there is Old Town Quito. You can see the two steeples there of the cathedral in down Old Quito, and we've been up there at the top of those. It was kind of fun walking over the top of the church, you know, to go to the tower in the back, and it was, what was interesting about it is there was a mass going on down there, and I was so tempted, you know, walking over to say, "Hello, this is God." But I didn't know how to do it in Spanish, so, because I'm not sure they would have understood it. But anyway, so it's a large city of about 2.5 million people, but it's mostly a really thin and long city. So, and it is third world. Okay, I'm pushing. This is going to be fun. There we go. All right, did you do that, Kevin? This is wonderful. Okay, technology is always wonderful here. So obviously the equator is at the latitude of what? 000, right? And so this monument right there that you see is the official monument. The Equator Commission, you know, they were trying to look for a place in the world where to put in, you know, this large monument on the equator. Well, most of the equator is under water. And much of the rest of the equator is in war-torn areas. So there aren't many places where they could, or closed countries, where they could go and put this large monument. So they sat there and put this large monument and got this little line that goes right down the middle. Only problem is they're 100 yards off. The real equator is about 100 yards to the north. And there you can go and balance an egg, and you can watch the water go down different directions. It's really fascinating. If you ever come down to Ecuador, I'll host you, and we can do this. But you can sit there, put a pan of water right on the equator. It goes straight down. You go 3 foot to the north, it goes down this direction. You go 3 foot to the south, it goes down this direction. Just so you know you're on the equator there, and that's not it. But anyway, it's a nice monument, a lot of nice stuff in there and on the equator. So lots and lots of cathedrals and churches. Now, you know, it was always interesting when we bought the Larimore House up in North St. Louis County, built around 1848. We thought this is really old. Well, then you go to the eastern seaboard and you see things that are built in the 1700s and things like that. Well, that cathedral right there, I think that's San Francisco, that it was built in, anybody? 1600s, okay? So this, very, very old. Of course, that's when the Spanish came down to South America, and that'd be a long story. But anyway, so anyways, 95% Roman Catholic there, though not many of them, not that nearly that many practice their Catholicism, so. Okay, lots of beaches. So this is a coastal region, and so I was with a senior down on the beaches, so it was kind of fun going down to the southern hemisphere, South America, go on the beach and Pacific coast, and then 2 weeks later I came up, it was with my daughter and her family in Orlando, and we went on the beach on the Atlantic side in the northern hemisphere, 2 weeks apart. Guess what? The water is salty in both oceans. So, but Ecuador has the coastal area, then it has nothing. Well, then you have the mountain area here, so the Andes Mountains. And then you have the jungles, so that there are lots of jungles there. One of the students that lives in our dormitory is with the Kofan, and it's a small tribe there. And they just had representatives from the United Nations come down there and visit their tribe in the jungle. And you want to know who those representatives were? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were down there visiting this tribe, but anyway. So there's the jungle area, and then, of course, the most famous of all is the Galapagos, and that I've been there, you know, with Joy and Josh, but the Galapagos is kind of the fourth region that's down there. So the Andes Mountains divide Ecuador right kind of down the middle, and you have all that. So now here's the school I work at. It's the Alliance Academy International. You can look it up on the internet. It's located near the airport in Quito, Ecuador. At least until October, they're going to have a new airport. The airport they're moving away from now, the first time I landed there, you looked out the wings, you thought you're going to hit the stores on either side because it's so close. There is a Presbyterian church that has a steeple that's had the steeple taken off by a plane landing there. So they're moving it out to the valley. But the problem with the valley, it's on this long ridge here, and the airplane better not miss. Because if they go too far left, or they go too far right, or they go too far, American Airlines, I understand, is not even going to fly there because of the crosswind. But anyway, so that's Ecuador. You see there the soccer field that we have, because we're in Ecuador. They play real football, okay? I mean, American football, we call it football, but how often do you use your feet, right? But soccer, you use your feet all the time. But so we play lots of soccer on that field. And there's the other area is the flag area where we inside the middle of the school. Now, so what do I do down there? One of the things I do is I teach Bible classes. So this is one of my Bible classes here that I was teaching here. And I wish you could see that picture better. Just, I would like to go around the picture and tell you, you know, I always, you know, got upset with missionaries that used to come and they have their slides and they go through every person, talk about every person, this person. And well, now that I am one of those, you know, I'd love to tell you the stories of these. But anyway, this is a group of kids. It's a mix in the school. There's about, it used to be a missionary kids school, and that has changed because missions has changed. Missions used to be when you go to the mission field, you'd, you know, get called by your God in out of your church, and you go on the mission field for the rest of your life. Well, that paradigm is pretty much changed now. There are still some that do that, but most of it is short-term missions where people go and they go for 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, and then go home. Like most of our teachers sign 3-year contracts. They serve their 3-year contracts, and many of them go back home. So the paradigm has changed in missions, which means now that most missionaries are younger and they're there, they don't have older children. And so we don't have the missionary kid community in the school like we used to have. It used to be 70-80%. Now it's about 30%. And so always had an international community, which would be from many nations. Like in our school this last year, we had 40 countries represented there. But there's always an international community, the Koreans, you know, Chinese, Japanese, and Europeans and other Latin American countries. But now the missionary kids have been replaced with the Ecuadorian kids. And the Ecuadorian kids are either come from two communities. One, the very rich Ecuadorians, because they're the only ones that can afford to send their kids to a private school. And so we have a large number of very rich kids. I mean, one of my students, you know, his dad and mom aren't getting along, so his dad put something like $15 million in his son's bank account. $15 million. That's rich. Anyway, so then the other ones are all preacher's kids, and the preacher's kids get discounts to come to school there. So what you have is a very, you know, the division of our school is not cultural, it is based on economics. You know, so we have this rich community, which is the international community and the rich Ecuadorians, and then you have the poor community, which is the missionary kids and the pastor's kids. We also have open enrollment so that the kids in the school do not have to be Christians to go to school there. So we, rather than being a missionary support school, it is now more of a mission school. 80% of our kids do not know Christ. And I tell you what, I absolutely love that because we are in the gospel business as well as education business. So it's school is very strongly Christian, you know, everything like that. And so anyway, that's every slide's not going to take this long, okay? But the teacher is not always interesting. Sometimes they get, where are the captions on this? I thought we can't see it, can you? You know, that red there just doesn't look so good anyway. But anyway, teacher doesn't keep them always that interested anyway, so a little boring. Then we had International Fun Day. So this is, and this one, I like this one because, you know, the NBA is not just in the United States. We have the Nigerian Basketball Association, that was one of our International Fun Day booths there. Also, balance beams are getting ready for the Olympics. Well, they don't have this event in the Olympics, but it sure was a lot of fun. You get up there and try to knock somebody else off the balance beam with a pillow. And, you know, the bigger the kids, the harder they swing. You know, it's just, now that particular dunking booth was built in 1990. You wouldn't want to know what is swirling around in the inside of that tank. You know, but anyway, always dunking booths are always fun. I think it's about time for a new one. But anyway, so this is all part of the International Fun Day. So, whoops. So you probably can't see there, but the guy on the left-hand side, Nico, he's got his earbuds in. And, you know, I found out that they have new hoodies now. And these new hoodies, you can put them out in these strings that you tie the hoodies with. You know what they are? They're the earbuds, okay? And so if you want to hide from your teacher, you know, that you're listening to music in class, you sit there and you have your hoodie on, and everybody wears hoodies down there because it never gets below 55, never gets above 75. Okay, the only way we get to 105 is by adding 2 days together, okay? That's the only way we get there. But anyway, he's sitting there, he's jamming to music. So Ecuadorian kids in Quito, guess what they have? You think they have smartphones? Yeah, the rich kids do, okay? Do you think they have iPods and iPads? The average kid here texts 60 times a day, right? Did you know that? They do there too. So they, you know, all these kids there, they have all these things, and guess what kind of music they listen to? I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, same music that they listen to here, so... we also down there, they have bullfighting in Ecuador. So this, but we had our own bullfighting here, you know, this, and we worked the bull really good. And that's what's left of the bull, okay? And then we even had human foosball in this International Fun Day. So then we have a thing at Christmas time called, you know, there's a group of people who are extremely poor. They work in the dump, which is where they sort out the trash, you know, terrible lifestyle. And so the mission organization called Extreme Response puts on a, you know, this Christmas party, and they have all kinds of games, and these are the three that work with me in my booth, that little thing you throw, you see that little star, you throw holes through, well, you get four throws, and if they couldn't get it through, I'd stick my hand out and grab it, and so they could win. And but it's just, they call the Zambeza Christmas party, and it's just fabulous, great opportunity to share the gospel down there. Then this is the backfield. There's the covered court. You can see a little bit of the library and grade school building there. And here's another picture looking out, you know, just, you know, over the city, you know, of Ecuador. There are no flat spaces unless they're man-made in Quito. It's all part of the Andes Mountains. I work in the dorm, and this, we went out with our dorm, had a dinner party toward the end of the year, and so here's some of our students that we went out there with, and oh, I could tell stories here. But anyway, okay. Oh, I didn't know you did that, Kevin. Okay, I work with two Christian service outreaches. One of them is Awana that we have there in the gym, and this was our final night, and we had 80 to 90 kids, you know, and they're mostly kids of the staff of the school there, and we just had all the way from Cubbies up through TNT. Boy, Awana has changed since when I used to be part of it. Used to be something I understood now. But anyway, and you see the flags all up around the gym. We have all these flags of countries that are represented within our school, okay? This is another one of my Bible classes, you know, I love these kids. Anyway, so when we got joined, Josh came down there for the junior-senior banquet. So this is their big banquet. They came and Joy and Josh had sponsored the senior class, so they came down and were part of this. And after the banquet, we went down to the beach, and this is called Mompiche, and this is what the resort looked like, you know, sitting on the side. And we went on a trip through the mangroves, and how do you like to try to run on that beach? Can't even hardly walk on it. But we had a sand sculpture competition. Anybody ever hear of Lonesome George? Anybody hear of Lonesome George? He is one of the Galapagos turtles that he was the only one of his special kind, and he just recently died. They kept trying to get more, but he died. And so we had sand sculpture competition, and this was part of that. Then there's Joy and Josh and Juliana. If you've not seen Juliana, there she is, okay? And one of the things we did down there is, you know, they're right across from there is an island, and there is a fishing village there. And so about 30 of us from the senior class went over there and met with these kids, brought them a bunch of school supplies, and just had just a lot of fun with them, and played games, did magic, shared the gospel with them. But you notice they all wear uniforms. Their classrooms, they only had two classrooms for 60 kids. They had three walls, and that was it. And guess what kids like to do? Have their pictures taken. So I take a picture and show it to them, and they get all ecstatic. And the crowd kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So anyway, just lots and lots of fun. Here's Melly, and we call her the Crab Whisperer because she has got this crab that she... And there's baccalaureate and graduation. There's my daughter Joy and Haley Green, you know, and a couple of guys. Oh, and so that's that. Now, I think Kevin's going to put on another one, and I could have spent all morning on that. So Jim's already yawning, so I caught that. I saw it, okay? So would you turn with me, please, and we'll try to do this. Psalm 100. So the context for this is this. This last semester, I taught a course on world religions and cults. I have never taught a course like that before. I've always been kind of anti-teaching it because I don't want to teach error. You know, I mean, I'd rather teach the truth and let the people who teach error, they can teach the error, but I'm not going to teach their error. But, you know, I started thinking about it, and one of the things I became very concerned about is hearing statistics that kids that come out of Christian churches, Christian homes, they go away to college, and 60 to 80% of them chuck the faith. Bingo. They're out. They're gone. And this is a statistic based on U.S. kids, not just, you know, so it's not a statistic for kids coming out of the Alliance Academy. But I became very, very concerned about that, well, what can we do to help prepare our students for leaving the academy and going to schools in the States and Sweden, Switzerland, Scotland, Korea, Japan, China. They're going all over the world, and many in the States. In fact, one of them is going to be coming here to WashU. She's the daughter of a missionary doctor down there, and she's coming. She's going to WashU. She wants to be a doctor as well. But what tools can we give our kids so that when they go and they get confronted with other ideas, you know, how can they, you know, figure this out? How can they analyze this? How can they? And so that was my motivation in teaching this course. Okay, so we had this matrix or a rubric that we kind of gave the kids, and here's how to take a look at, you know, something that presents itself as the truth, and how do you analyze it? And so we went through this. We went, first of all, through world religions. We went through five major world religions: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. So three monotheistic and two polytheistic. And then we Second quarter, we went and dealt with some of the cults. Primarily, we dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Did a little bit on Seventh-day Adventism, but primarily Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. So here we talked about all this. But one of the things that kind of impressed me, you know, in doing all this is what poor views of God they have. They do not have a view of a very good God or a very powerful God. And so Psalm 100 just kind of jumps out in my mind. So if you would turn and, you know, with me in Psalm 100 and take a look through this. You know, that thing is so deceptive up there. I keep my head looking up there, and I like to look at everybody, especially when they start falling asleep, you know, because I want to pay attention to that, you know, and I see the yawns, and I know what's coming next, and things like that. So, but anyway, Psalm 100. So let's read Psalm 100 together off the slide, if you don't mind, please. Shout. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Sorry. Too many things for an old man. Okay, shout, you read together with me, please. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, for those of you who are old enough, you know, you remember, it used to be like whatever that was 30 years ago. We used to sing Psalm 100 all the time, didn't we? We don't sing it anymore. But we sang it in the King James Version. I don't know if it converts to the New American Standard or NIV or the New Living Translation or whatever. But anyway, in this psalm, okay? Don't you love technology? There we go. Actually, in the Hebrew Bible, it's 6 verses. You see 5 verses in your English Bible because that little thing that says a psalm for thanksgiving, that's actually the first verse in the Hebrew Bible. So then you got 5 verses that follow it. And these 5 verses, one is a header, and that's verse 1 in the English Bible. And then you have 2 stanzas, verses 2 through 1 through 3 is stanza 1, and 4 and 5 are stanza 2. So here we go. These 2 stanzas are parallel to one another. You essentially have a threefold call to praise. Then there's a basis statement, and then there is 2 statements that support this basis statement that's going on. So stanza one, there we go. So you look at verse 1, you have 3 commands, right? Shout, serve, come, or come before. What words are associated with, what's an adverb? Does anybody know what an adverb is? So it's not an adjective, right? Because an adjective describes a person, place, or thing, but an adverb tells you something about the kind of action of the verb, right? So I have found out that there are a lot of that kids, when you get a bunch of kids, they can shout, right? Had with some of my grandkids yesterday over the swimming pool. You know what? They can shout. It's amazing how healthy kids' lungs can be. But here he is, he's talking about worship, and he says, how should we shout? When was the last time you shouted joyfully? And it was not because the Cardinals beat the Cincinnati Reds last night, was it? Did you shout joyfully when it got under 100 degrees? It's going back up again. Whew. Quito is looking really good. But anyway, shouting joyfully. When was the last time somebody shouted joyfully at Fenton Crossing? Oh, I'm sorry. We're not Pentecostal. We don't shout. We're not Holy Rollers, so we don't raise our voices much at all, right? We don't do that. Shout joyfully. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Wow. It's fun watching chapel at the Alliance Academy, and you sing some songs. And the typical high school kids, when they sing songs, their lips don't move. Nothing. And they're not even smiling when their lips aren't moving. So they're being silent, sadly, you know, whatever it is. But here, coming before the Lord, this author of this psalm, whoever it is excited about coming and shouting joyfully and serving with gladness and coming with joyful singing, because he's shouting joyfully to whom? To the Lord. And that word Lord is the word Jehovah. It occurs four times in this psalm. But who is he asking to shout to the Lord? All the earth, right? All the earth. Wow. You know, I'm on Facebook, and I don't know if it's a wise thing or not. Sometimes I wonder about being on Facebook and having some of your students on Facebook too. That raises interesting issues when kids post on there with a bottle of Jim Beam, contrary to school policy. Okay, when you have your grandchildren using language I'm not real happy with. Okay, you know, but on Facebook, you sit there and you begin realizing that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, they're saying all kinds of things. Are everybody praising the Lord? No. Okay. So what is this, all the earth? The psalmist is saying all the earth should praise the Lord. Why? Well, is it residents from all the earth? Well, that's what Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 7, verse 9 say. Or is it all residents from the earth? Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But the appeal here is, because we have something to praise the Lord about, all the earth should be praising the Lord. Why? Okay? Because, and here's the basis statement, that because the Lord himself is God. We have a God who is worth worshiping, worth praising. He is God. He's the Almighty. Now, this word for God is the same word that in Arabic comes the word Allah. It's in Hebrew, it's Elohim. It's the mighty God, the one who is powerful. Okay? So the Lord himself, Jehovah, is God. He's all-powerful. He is one worthy of worship. Why is he worthy of worship? Well, that's what these support statements talk about. Support statement number one. Know that the Lord himself is God, is he who has made us and not we ourselves. How do we know the Lord is God? Because he's the creator. He's the one who has fashioned us. He is the one who has made us. Now, I had the opportunity, you know I am not a science professor, but I had the opportunity, not this year, but last year, to teach a symposium on creation, various views of the origins of men. Okay, so we talked about creation and evolution and theistic evolution and all these different kinds of things and talked about these. How important do you think the doctrine of creation is? You think that's an important doctrine? You think it's essential? Yeah, it is. You know, and the more I realize, it takes more faith, from my viewpoint, to be an evolutionist than it does to be a creationist, okay? You sit there and try to take a look at the intricacy of creation and, wow, is this something we could do? Is this something that, you know, that we have this little baby that comes home, is this something we created? Well, God used us to create this little baby, but what a wonder. How did the DNA from one man and one woman come together and create this? How did that happen? Were you guys smart enough to figure that out? And so for 9 months you got it all figured out so that this little baby that's born? No. I mean, we're incorporated into the process, but God is the one who's done it. We can praise God joyfully because he's created us. He's made us. He has placed us here. That there are, one of the statistics down in, hold that clock, down there is that 80% of all women in Quito, Ecuador are either in a sexually abusive relationship or have been. 80%. You know what? Little girls come out, you know, feeling like, why was I ever made? Why am I here? What good am I? You know, there's your worth, their feelings of self-worth, their value, it's just not there. But if you know you are there by the creation of God, and so we have ministries down there working with girls that are, you know, in trafficking and things like that. And part of what they're sharing with them is that you are a special handiwork of God. You are here by God's design, by God's creation, and you are His, and, you know, He is the one worthy of worship. But this is, He did something we cannot do, but this is something that has been accomplished. Second support statement is, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And so that He is the one who has given His life for the sheep. So it's not just, you know, that we worship God because the Lord because He's God. We worship Him also because He's Creator. We worship Him also because He's the Redeemer. That He has loved us so much that He sent His Son here to the cross. Can I tell you how different this is from, for instance, Buddhism and Hinduism? Well, we don't have time to talk about that. You know, Buddhists don't even really believe there is a God. Whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a way of life. Hindus, you pick one of 3.3 million gods. Pick the one you like, and that's the one you worship, because that's all part of this, you know, process of reincarnation, all these different kinds of things. So here we go. Here, this redemption, you know, that He has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is something that we see about in John chapter 10. This is something that is current, but because that clock is moving on. The conclusion for stanza 1. We can praise the Lord joyfully because He is God, as evidenced by His creation and redemption of us. Second stanza. Three more commands to praise. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. So now the first part of verse 4 that is connected by an and, so I think that's just threefold call to praise, just like up in stanza number 1. So here again, how do we come to worship the Lord? With thanksgiving, with praise, give thanks, bless His name. Isn't it amazing this word bless, that we even can bless God? It means to enrich, to, you know, add value so that we can actually, with our mouths, bless, add value to the name of God. That's just an astounding thought. But here is this psalmist encouraging us. Why? Why does he want us to do this? Again, it's to the Lord. Because the Lord is... I'm just going to stick... I can't keep up with these sheets of paper. This is too much. Oh, getting old is tough. Because the Lord is good. Do you believe God is good? Well, you know what? There's a lot of discussion going on. I don't know if you've ever read, you know, Rob Bell, that's out and he'd become very popular, wrote his book, Love, you know, Love Wins and things like that. You know, to get God out of this jam, you know, because of so much evil in the world, he comes up with all these really weird conclusions, you know, getting rid of judgment, getting rid of any condemnation and things like that. How can God be good with all this suffering and misery in the earth? Well, the psalmist doesn't deal with all those, but he does deal with two things. You know, this word good, if you look up the synonyms, here's some definitions of, you know, of the word good. High quality, suitable, skilled, all these different kind of things. But how do we know God's good? First support, His loving kindness is everlasting. I don't even remember a number of years ago, Theron Young gave a message on the word hesed in the Old Testament. From Psalm 117. Wonderful, wonderful message. It's a word that's so difficult to come up with one word, but two words come up with it, you know, that I like to focus on. One is the idea of grace, and the other is the idea of mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, right? Simple definitions. And mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve, okay? Boy, are those wonderful, grace and mercy. How long does God's grace and mercy last for us? Do you see it there? Okay. Can I point at it? If I can figure it out. How long does it last? Until he gets tired of doing it? Sometimes as parents, your grace and mercy lasts until you get a toothache, or until the kids wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or until you get a call from the police about your kid, or whatever it might be. How does God deal with us in our lives? His grace and his mercy is... Are you thankful for that? I hope you're thankful for that. One more support statement. And his faithfulness to all generations. So somebody tell me what you think the word faithfulness means. Anybody? Jim Fitz. If I ask you to give me a definition of faithfulness, can you give me a short definition? That's what my students do. Okay, to continue in your belief, absolutely. Somebody else, volunteer, please. You know, it's a definition of faithfulness. Paul. Somebody you can always count on. Okay? Another one.
To keep his word.
You know, his promises, right? You know, that when he makes a vow, when he makes a promise, guess what? If I don't keep my side of the promise, if I don't keep my side of the deal, guess what he does? He keeps his side, his faithfulness to all generations. Are you concerned about your kids? Your sons, your daughters? Have any concerns about your grandchildren? I do. His faithfulness to all generations. So here's the psalmist. He is basically telling us to praise the Lord because he is God and because he is good. One of the things I'm absolutely convinced in teaching this course on world religions and cults is that people do not really have an understanding of who God is, that he is God, and what God is like, that he is good. They do not understand that. I hope we do, and I hope that we have the joy of that message as we come together and the joy of that message as we go out into this world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these dear saints, and I thank you for them putting up with some of these technology things that I didn't mess up. But we are thankful for who you are, that you are God. You are the one who has created us. You are the one who has redeemed us. And that you are a good God. You have loving kindness for everlasting, and that your faithfulness to all generations. What an incredibly wonderful God that we have to worship and to serve and to bless his name. And Father, that is a message that we certainly want to take out, not only to hear people in St. Louis, but for my opportunity to people down in Ecuador and for wherever anybody might be. Just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Take another picture.